And if you've been coming those last few weeks, you know we've been looking at the Baptist distinctives, right? We've been looking at the word Baptist there, and we've been taking each letter, and we've gone over the letter B, which was the Bible, right? Talking about how the Bible is our sole authority. We looked at the letter A, the autonomy of the believer, the autonomy of each local church. We looked at the priesthood of the believer for the letter P. And last week we looked at the two ordinances of the church. We looked at baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we went into that in great detail. And on Sunday we had the Lord's Supper here at the church. And so today we're looking here at the letter I, looking at individual soul liberty. We're going to look here and see what does that mean. Individual soul liberty. All right. In Romans chapter number 14, I'll begin reading here in verse number 7. And I'll just read down a few verses about verse number 14. But here, Romans chapter 14, look there with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." So we're going to look here tonight at the individual soul liberty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be here in your house. Lord, grateful that we have the privilege and the honor and the freedom here to open your word and to hear your word preach, Lord, but I do need you now. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me, give your clarity here as we look at the subject here and we look in your word, Lord, that you'll give direction, Lord, and let your spirit have free reign here tonight. Hey, don't let us leave here the same way we came in today. Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, liberty, let's define that. Liberty is the state of being free, okay? It is the power to do as one pleases, freedom from a physical restraint, freedom from any type of control. Liberty is a great thing, is it not? We live in a land of liberty. We live in a land of freedom, the United States of America. Now, there are many different types of liberty if you wanted to break them down. There are many different types. You have political liberty. You have freedom from political oppression. You have civil liberties, freedoms without government interference and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, right, like we are today. And we have personal liberties as well. We have freedoms to make choices and decisions without interference from others or the government. And so, unfortunately, many times what happens with liberty is we take liberty to the extreme. We take it and we make it what we want it to be. We make it to fit our life and to fit our desires and to fit really what we want out of life. But when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to the teachings in God's Word, when it comes to the doctrines of God's Word, when it just comes to God's Word, period, we just need to believe it. We need to believe it. We need to stand on it. We need to teach it. We need to exhort it. We need to preach it. We need to defend it. And we need to live by it. Okay? We need to live by it. We are to rebuke whatever is contrary to God's Word. And there's a lot of that outside of these doors. Right, we got to rebuke that. In Romans chapter 14 here, when you look at this chapter, if we were to read the whole chapter, Paul is talking about liberty in matters that are not specifically spelled out in the Scriptures. Okay, when the Bible is silent on such matters, there is liberty for the believer. But we got to look at some things. All right, this liberty is not to just do whatever we want, to feel however we want, do whatever we want, live however we want. This liberty is to be determined by God's Word. Okay, that is the ultimate. That is what we're analyzing it against, is according to the Scriptures. And then when we find out what the Scriptures say, then we need to live our life according to the things of God, to the Scriptures in His Word. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to look at this letter I for the individual soul liberty. And so the first thing I want you to see here is I'm going to give you the meaning. I want you to see the meaning of it. All right, the meaning. If you look there in verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." I want you to get this first. You see that? We are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. None of us live for ourselves, okay? Now, we think we do. We want to do what we want to do, when we want it, where we want it, how we want it. But the Bible says that we are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own, okay? Paul said it like this. Paul says, "I die daily." Right? We read a reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to serve the Lord. Jesus says you must pick up your cross daily and follow Him. But everything that we do in this life, if we're going to live by the Word of God, it means that we've got to surrender everything we are to Him. That means we've got to read the Word of God, come to church, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and when we see what the Word of God says, we've got to live by it. Because, why? Because whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. You get that? I want you to see that first. He bought us with a very high price. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our body belongs to God, not us. Our body is not freely ours to do with it as we want and to treat it however we want. Our body, our soul, our spirit belongs to Jesus Christ. And why is that? How is that? Well, He created us, but He also paid the price for it. He paid the ultimate price. That price, anybody know? His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, His death on that cross. In Revelation 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." You see, it's all in the blood. It's not just the death, it's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That He rose from the dead, yes, so we could be free from the coming judgment of our sin, but that saving, the salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 11:25. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He paid it all. He paid the price. And so I need to realize, first of all, that no matter what, I live or I die, I belong to Him. I belong to Jesus Christ. So now, individual soul liberty, as we look at this here, individual soul liberty is going to teach us that we all have, every single one of us has a God-given right to read the Bible. We have a God-given right to read the Bible, to pray, to study the Bible, okay, without anybody coercing us to believe a certain way. So basically what it means is that God has given us freedom and the ability to know and to respond to Him in His will. That's what it means. And we can go throughout the Bible and see many instances of that. We can see that in the book of Genesis and look at the creation account, that shows that with great freedom comes what? Great responsibilities. We look in our country, we know that with great freedom comes great responsibilities. Yeah, we are a great country. Yeah, we have the greatest military, yes. But with those freedoms comes great responsibility. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." You know, I often think that in America, everybody, we're all going to have, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all going to be kind of like, hey, much is required of us. We live in a free country. You know, we can freely come to church. We can freely hear God's Word. And hey, much is going to be required of us. Gilead Baptist Church, much is required of us. Okay? We need to get that. We are all responsible for our choices. We're all responsible for our decisions, whether it's good or bad. Right? We can use this freedom for good or bad. We can use this freedom and obey His Word and obey Him, and we can have life, or we can disobey it. Okay, and we can, you know, the result is death. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Every single person born again has the liberty to choose this, whether his how his conscience dictates according to the Scriptures. And that's the point I want to make. It's not a feeling thing, okay? It is based on the Scriptures. You know what they are feelings? Our feelings are what? We're this. We're up today. We're down tomorrow. We're in the dumps. We're up here. All of our life is this. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, our feelings change by the moment, but God never changes. Okay? We are to base our liberties on the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Bible says, "Prove all things." Right, we are to prove all things in this life by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. He says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Individual soul liberty does not mean that I can just go out and behave any old way I want to do it, anything I want to do. Right? The Bible is clear that we all are responsible for our choices. Okay, there are consequences for our choices. And you know what else we read here? That every single one of us will give an account one day. There in Romans 14, look at verse number 12. He says here, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." There is coming a day, and that day could be today. We don't know. Jesus Christ could come back. The rapture could happen right now. We could be raptured out of here if you've been born again. If you're not been born again, you'll be here. And if that's the case, just pick up my notes and carry on. All right? All right. There you go. All right? But hey, it could be today. We could be standing in front of Jesus Christ giving an account of our life. Okay? We're all of the saved are going to give an account to Him. Right? That day is coming. He said in verse 10 there, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This is for the saved people. This is the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what? When we look at that, when we read the Bible, and we kind of understand that we're all going to stand and give an account of our life, should that motivate us? Should that not motivate us to live according to God's Word? Should that not motivate us to be faithful? Should that not motivate us to go when He said go? And to come when He says come? Should that not motivate us? And maybe that should motivate us to change some things in my life, don't you think? Maybe there's some things in my life that I know are contrary to the Word of God. Should it, the very fact of the matter that I'm going to stand face to face with Him and give an account, make me change some things in my life? Maybe make some different decisions? Maybe those things aren't working out. You know, if you repeat the same thing over and over again and it's not working out, you're going to get the same results. You might have to change some things in your life, okay? Hey, maybe I just need to start being faithful. Maybe I just need to start being committed. Maybe I just need to start praying. I haven't had a prayer. I need to start praying today. Listen, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, nobody will be able to ignore the fact of God's will for their life. Right? But here's the thing. It'll be too late. It'll be too late to come back here and then redo it all over again. The time to do it and the time to live for the Lord and the time to be faithful and the time to be committed and the time to have a prayer life is now. Now is the time. You know, we sang that song the other day. I don't remember when, but it said, "I wish I had given Him more." Right? I wish I had given Him more. So as we look at individual soul liberty, we get into it here. Now, this is going to prove that nobody can believe for you. Nobody can be saved for you. Nobody can repent for you. Nobody can obey God on your behalf. Each one of us have a decision to be made. We all must trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, we are responsible for our actions, and we will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ when we stand before Him that day. Jesus said this in John chapter 3, in verse number 7. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You see, salvation is personal. He said, you, right? You must be born again. It is a personal thing. It's not something that anybody can do for you. You must believe that Jesus Christ paid it all when He died on the cross, when He was buried, and He rose again the third day, the gospel message. You see, you got to believe that message to get to heaven. That's why He came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to get to heaven, you got to come to Jesus Christ. He's the only way that you can get to heaven. God will not make anybody get saved. You understand that? God did not make us to be robots. We are not pre-programmed to do this, 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 and this. He gave us a free will. He gave us individual soul liberty. And we need to get this through our minds that, hey, if you want to die and go to hell, God will allow you to choose that and do that. He is not going to make a person get saved. But along those lines, when we live our life and we make wrong choices, we live in sinful behavior, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be discipline. Jesus Christ is going to discipline us. Right? We're all free to make those decisions, but we are all going to pay the consequences. Okay? In Galatians 6:5, the Bible says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Right? I will not bear the burden of my kids. Right? I will not bear the burden of my kids. They will have to stand and give an account of their own life. Okay? My mom cannot bear the burden of me and give an account for me on that day. No, she'll have to stand. I'll have to stand. You'll have to stand. And here's the thing, too. I want you to get this. You can't blame the church. Okay? Too many people blame the church. Oh, that church. It's that church's fault. And too many people blame the pastor. It's not the pastor's fault. Oh, that church. Oh, that pastor. If they would have. No. That's on you. You make the decisions, and here's the thing, young people, you cannot blame your parents. You cannot blame your parents. We are a royal priesthood. We all have individual soul liberty, and we all have the freedom to make our own decisions. Okay? Hey, if you're out of church, that's your fault. That's on you. If you're not as close to the Lord today as you'd like to be or you once were, that's on you. You only have you to blame. And so just let me ask you a question. How close are you to the Lord? How close are you to the Lord right now? On a scale of 1 to 10. On a 1 to 10, give yourself a number, and here's the thing. Whatever number you subtract, or you've given yourself, subtract 3. Because you know we're prideful people and we think too highly of ourselves. So if you want a fair assumption of where you're at, subtract 3 and that's where you're at. But here's my point. My point is that you are as close to God today as you want to be. I am as close to God today as I want to be. It is my decision. It is your decision. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You have that choice. We all can get that. Oh, well, you know that. You just don't understand that preacher. That church. They offended me. There's hypocrites in that church. You know, you're not going to believe this, but over the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to go fishing a couple times. And lo and behold, you're not going to believe this, but there were hypocrites out on that lake. They are. And you say, well, how do I know? Well, let me tell you how I know. Because we were fishing and there was this guy over in the boat over there. And I saw him catching fish. He was catching fish. And so we kind of went by him and you start talking to him. And he's like, man, pretty slow out here today. Yeah, you should have been here yesterday, but it's slow here today. But you know what? I bet you they're up in that creek. They're biting that creek way over there. I said, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. Right? But no, there's hypocrites. Hypocrites at Walmart. Hypocrites all over. But we don't quit going to Walmart, do we? No, we still go to Walmart. Go to Kroger, too, right? But let me just tell you, it's on you. It's on me. It's on us. We will stand before the Lord by ourselves. Our parents, hey parents, if your kids are not in church, as hard as it is, it's on them. It's on them. We got to pray for them, yes. But as hard as it is, we got to remember they have a free will. They have that same free will that we have. Right? So we keep praying for them. We keep praying for them. We keep praying for them. Husbands, your wife is not going to be there to answer for you at the judgment seat of Christ. Right? We got to man up. We got to stand up, be the leader. Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. All right. But 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, we give that account. That day is the coming. We give an account. But let me just tell you this, that liberty does not give a Christian a license to sin. All right? It does not give us a license to do what we want. Yes, we are under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Hallelujah. But do not misunderstand grace. All right. Grace is a great thing, but grace isn't a kitchen pass to just go and do what we want to do and to live however we want to live. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truth. Right? He is grace and truth, and you got to have them both. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You cannot have grace without truth. You got to have them both. You must have the truth of God's word in order to get grace. If you would, just flip over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you here verse number 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. It says here in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So see, we've been given liberty, but this liberty is not a license to indulge in the flesh. This liberty is to be used, he says here, by serving one another. By serving one another. Right? We know we're to exhort one another. We're to encourage one another. Okay? And one more thing here, this liberty is not something that we earn. We did not earn this liberty. This liberty was through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We're no longer under the law, okay? We are under grace and we are under truth, but it's only by the truth of God's Word. So let me give you number two here, my second point here. I'm going to show you some examples of this soul liberty here in the Bible. So number two is some examples in the Bible. If you would turn back over to Romans chapter number 14. And look there in verses 2 and 3. Romans 14, 2 and 3, the Bible says here, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So an example here, an example from the Church of Rome here on how soul liberty affected the church. We see here that one believer thought that eating herbs was only the only way they could please God. And then another believed that eating anything was okay with God. Okay, one observed special religious days while others did not. And these were not spelled out exactly in God's word. Right? There was no clear direction. Had there been, Paul would have set them straight. But yet the people still had the choice. Okay, they still had the decision to make. That decision was theirs to make. Paul wasn't coercing them. He wasn't forcing them to make the decision. Let me give you another one here. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look here in verses 2 and 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, give you an example of how Paul used this individual soul liberty here in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." I want you to underline that, right? Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Hey, Paul converted people. People got saved. People got born again by the manifestation of the truth. What is truth? God's word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. So that's how Paul would preach the gospel. He would preach the truth of God's word, and people would be saved that way. He didn't trick them, is my point. He didn't trick them into believing something. He didn't try to use crafty lingo or language or even misusing the Bible. He preached the Bible. There was no deviating from the Bible. And the same thing goes with us. We're not to trick people into saying a prayer. Right? We're not interested in just seeing people say a prayer. We give the gospel. We preach the gospel. The word, the gospel, the Holy Spirit is all the power that's needed. Okay, God doesn't need our power. Right? The Bible says in Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." You see, the power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So Paul, the manifestation of the truth. Let me give you another one here. I want you to see the example here in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 shows us the individual soul liberty with Jesus Christ as an example here. He says in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now picture that. Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You see, Jesus, at one point in their time, in their life, if you're saved, Jesus was knocking at the door. Knocking at the door of your heart, waiting for you to let him in. Hey, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, hey, maybe right now Jesus Christ is knocking on the heart of your door. And he tells there, if you open the door and let him in. You see, my point is, Jesus isn't kicking the door in, is he? He's not barging down the door. He's standing there waiting for you to open it up. Jesus gives us a choice. He gives everybody a choice. Like I mentioned already, he did not make us to be robots. He wants us to choose to love him. Because when you choose to love him, you really love him. Right? You really love him. So liberty, every person has liberty, yes. Every person has the right to make choices, whether they're right or wrong, but it does not change the fact of our wrong choices are going to make wrong, or wrong decisions, wrong choices are going to have a wrong outcome. They're going to have a bad outcome, okay? And we got to remember that this isn't just based on feelings, because our feelings lie. What I think, or what I saw on the internet, or what I feel is usually wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so in the areas where the Scripture does not speak, it doesn't have a thou shalt, right? We can only do what the Lord leads us to believe by using Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. The Bible says there in Romans 14:5, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." The point is this: we cannot override the truth of God's Word by feelings or thoughts or even by what we think. We always have to default, go to, use as our guide, as our compass, our direction, the truth from the Word of God. And so I got one more here for you. I want you to see, thirdly, I want you to see the example in us. Right, so we saw the meaning. We saw some biblical examples. Now I want you to see the individual soul liberty as an example in us. If you would, turn over to back to Romans chapter 14. And let's look there at verse 21. So how can we truly apply this in our lives here? Romans 14:21. The Bible says here, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Now the point is this here. Our walk affects others. What we do, what we say, where we go affects others, and we are not to offend the brethren with our liberty. You see, here's the thing. There's things that really we could do, but there's things we don't do. Why? Because it might offend the brethren. There's places we could possibly go, but we don't go to those places. Why? Because it could offend the brethren. It could cause a brother to stumble or be made weak. Think of others, in our life, how others' actions have affected us. There's been times, I'm sure, where we've said, "Hey, they don't, so I guess I won't. They don't go soul winning, so I guess I won't go soul winning." Right? They go soul winning, so that encourages me to go soul winning. Okay? And when we consider doing something in this life, I want you to think of a couple things here. We need to ask ourselves these questions. Will this action cause peace or division in the church? If I do this, will it cause peace or division in the church? Will it cause harmony or will it cause a problem? Another one, will my brother in Christ grow seeing me do this? Or will his growth in the Lord be stunted? Will it cause him to stumble? Will it cause him to be offended? Will it cause him to be weak? You see, we got to be careful with the brethren. We got to be careful what we do. And we can't allow this liberty to hinder church. We can't allow it to hinder other members of the church. We got to be careful with this liberty what we do. I know there's some people that say, "Well, if the Bible doesn't say I can do it, or if it says I can do it, well, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to do as I please. It doesn't matter what anybody says, right? It doesn't matter what you think. I'm just going to do this anyway." But that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? The Bible doesn't teach that about charity. The Bible doesn't teach about love. Look there in verse 13, Romans 14:13. He says that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in thy brother's way. Right? And we say we love the brethren. We are to love the brethren, by the way. If we're saved, we've been born again, we are to love the brethren. And true love says, "I know I can do that, and it will not affect my relationship or fellowship with God. But since it might cause my brother to stumble, but since it might cause him to be offended, since it might cause some problems in his walk, because I love God and because I love my brother, I'm not going to do that thing." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Hey, just because it's legal to do something doesn't mean we need to be doing it. Right? Just because it's legal, we shouldn't be doing it necessarily. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Now, you may have heard of Charles Spurgeon. He was a famous preacher and one of the most famous preachers that we've known here in the world. But he preached to thousands and thousands of people there in London, England in the 19th century. But what a lot of people don't know is that for most of his life, Spurgeon was a tobacco user. He smoked a pipe. He smoked tobacco there. And one day, Spurgeon was walking along like he did a lot in London there. And he passed a tobacco store that was advertising a certain brand of tobacco. And the advertisement said this. It said, "The brand that Spurgeon smokes." the brand that Spurgeon smokes. And when he saw that, he was convicted. Holy Spirit convicted his heart right there. And he was aware of the for the first time that his liberty might be a hindrance to some other brother. And so at that very moment, it's recorded that he never smoked again from that day. Right? And so there's our example, right? Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, Christ had already freed him from that bondage of tobacco. Christ had already freed us from whatever sin, whatever we're partaking in, whatever we're going through. He's already freed us from that. And so he says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." Hey, we need to stand fast in the liberty in our family, in our home life. Okay? Yeah, we're to teach and train our children in our house. But again, they choose for themselves at the end of the day. We pray for them. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Hey, we need to stand fast in the liberty in the workplace. In the workplace. How many times in the workplace is there going to be a battle, right? There's going to be a battle going on. Good, bad, evil, good, okay, all the time. Daniel, we know Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Conviction, Holy Spirit conviction, right, in that workplace. How are you known in that workplace? How do you stand in that workplace? Hey, does anybody in the workplace know that you're a Christian? Like I said, when I got saved at 38 years old in the military, hey, I did all those things that most everybody else did, you know. When the weekends came, we went to the club. But when I got saved, those things changed. I didn't go there anymore. Right? There was a difference. They knew something different happened to me. Right? There was a change, okay? But how are you known? Have you purposed in your heart a separation there? And the last thing there, we got to stand fast in this world, in our neighborhood, right, in our society, wherever we go, what kind of example are we for Jesus Christ? Right, as we saw there with Spurgeon, what kind of example was he? He could have very well been a stumbling block for some with that pipe. But what are we doing in our life that is a stumbling block for others? Yes, we have liberty. Yes, we do, according to God's Word. What are we doing with it? How are we living? How are we living our lives? We need to live our lives according to the Word of God. Where the Bible speaks, we just need to be obedient. Just obey it. Where there is not clear lines of instruction, right, the Bible gives us that liberty to get in the Word, to study it, and to find the truth in the Word for ourselves through the Holy Spirit of God. So, hey, the individual soul liberty, it's a great thing, isn't it? Let's pray.